Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment, episode 106. I almost didn't open up with the flute because I was ready to go, ready to record, and the flute was across the room. Of course, it's not that big in a studio apartment, but the flute was across the room, and I was feeling a little bit lazy, and I said, hey, do I really need to do the flute? And then I go, how lazy can you be? The flute is my signature opening and closing. You're going to forego that because you're friggin' lazy and don't want to get up off your little big old bummeroony? So I got up, and there you hear it. You hear those incredible tones, and I have definitely shortened them because when I was listening to other episodes, it was just like, man, that opening and closing would go on forever. Okay, let's catch you up. First of all, apologies if anybody noticed that last week I did not put one up. It just happened to be just one of those weeks. I have no excuse. Wasn't feeling that up. I was going through some stuff and just decided, hey, I'm taking the week off, and so be it. Okay, and I think, you know, the way the nature of podcasts are that, you know, you archive them and then people can gather them and then listen at their leisure. Like my good buddy Wesley, who helped me start this whole thing, contacted me today and said he just listened to 105. He had listened to, he was waiting to listen to them all in a row, and he's actually got the secret 104 one too. And I hope he doesn't use it against me. No, he actually texted me and goes, I don't know what was wrong, so wrong on what you said. And I didn't say anything wrong. That was the whole point. I said nothing wrong, but in this politically correct climate that we live in, which I thought the pendulum was going to swing a little bit the other way. I mean, go back to some common sense. Listen, all right, forget it. I'm not even going to get involved in talking about it because I have so much to talk about today. First thing is cigar update. It's weird, man. I was looking at old footage of like a Hollywood premiere, and you see these guys in their tux, and one guy is smoking a blowing cigar smoke all over the place. You know, what a different world that was. I think I would have been a lot happier then. I think I did live back then, but I don't think I was one of the moguls. Okay, I have a theory about what I was, but I'm not going to bring it here. Anyway. So I got, I told you 2 weeks ago about what was going on with the cigars, and, you know, I'm relegated to smoking in my car. I mean, it's really kind of pathetic, but there's no other place to go. I mean, people go, we can go to a cigar lounge. Yes, but not at midnight or 2 in the morning. I mean, I'm a late night person. Plus, I spent a couple of years in the cigar lounges in the late 90s. And I had my fill. I don't mind once in a while, maybe, but I prefer smoking by myself. It's sort of a communal type thing. Communing with the spirit, God, the Lord, whatever you want to call the spirit. And it's just my time. It's like a meditative thing. And you know, and actually, probably if I could start a religion, I could probably fight this whole thing. And I got a letter from the housing authority because they were looking into whether it was legal or illegal for me to be threatened with eviction because of that. And after sending, you know, giving them all the contentious emails I got from the owner, after presenting 3 letters of support from neighbors, and their findings were that the landlord was completely in his right to consider me a nuisance. What I was doing was a nuisance. And so equating me, like I said, with a gangbanger, a meth, somebody cooking meth, somebody making an extreme amount of noise. Now, okay, fine. I mean, why wasn't this presented, like I've said this before, why wasn't this presented to me earlier? Verbally by the managers. So I ran into the manager, I haven't seen the husband, but the wife, and I'm not even going to mention them by name anymore because I'm, you know, they were my friends, and now they're not, you know, and it's fine, okay? But, and I don't want to say their names, but the wife, you know, I said to her the other day, I said, hey, who was it that was complaining about my cigar smoke? You know, because I've asked everybody around my immediate area. And she goes, oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, it doesn't matter. I go, and then she started to tell me that she had asthma and allergies, and it had bothered her. Sometimes when I opened my door, it bothered her. And I said, well, okay, then why didn't you tell me something? And she just kind of, you know, schluffed it off. Oh, you know, I didn't want to say. No, you didn't want to say. You just wanted to kind of to threaten me with eviction. That was where that was your move. So fine. So I'm not smoking in my house anymore. My friend Chris was going to have one of his friends try to put together some kind of filtering system, but his friend said, why reinvent the wheel? The HEPA is the best filtration system. However, I'm not going and investing any money to put something in here because I wouldn't feel comfortable now smoking in here because I'd always be paranoid that I'm going to be busted, like I'm doing something wrong. The manager, lady manager, said that she went around the building and asked everybody, is there anybody else who's smoking cigars? And nobody else, she asked everybody and nobody does. I go, oh, I see. That's great. So I was just imagining that. Well, I was just letting you know that there was a person, they're on the second floor, and you know who they are, and I believe that person, you know, lied about something else a while ago that went down here and that involved some of his friends, but I, you know, I don't want to get into that. And, you know, I don't want to present any problems for him. I didn't say his name. I just said that I don't want to be blamed for, if I'm not smoking cigars in my house and there's cigar smoke blowing in the common areas, I don't want to be blamed for that. So that's that. And, I sit in my car. I feel like, I kind of feel like a pervert. You're sitting there in the dark or even in the light. People drive by and everyone walk by and, you know, I mean, it used to be that I would take one of the lounge chairs and I could go out and sit in the front and sit in the side of the building and I'd meet women and people, you know, guys throughout the neighborhood. But I can't even do that because you have to be 20 feet from the building. And in order for me to be 20 feet from the building, I actually have to be in the street, in the road. So they've taken all that away and, that's the world we're living in right now. That's the world I'm living in. And, you know, and that's that. There's something else I wanted to say about this. I don't know. I forgot. I ran into a neighbor who lives in the courtyard directly catty-corner to me, only on the second floor. And, you know, so I've checked with everybody in my immediate area. And so in addition to the managers who I think kind of stirred this thing up, I think it was the people above them. And I don't understand. So anyway, I saw this guy in Gelson's yesterday, and I mentioned I almost got evicted. You know, the thing has been rescinded now because they, you know, I've changed my evil ways in the building. And he was like, I said, yeah, they were accusing me. He said my smoke was affecting the common areas. He goes, I've never smelled any smoke in the common areas. And this guy is vehemently anti-smoking. He used to smoke cigarettes and drink beer in the courtyard with a friend of his, and then he quit all that kind of stuff, whatever. And he became one of those, like, you know, anti-smoker crusaders. But he said to me, he told me before he never smelled my cigar smoke. So I just think it was all fabricated. I think that, you know, that she had, you know, somebody went, you know, and they got a whiff of it, and they just made a big deal out of nothing. And kind of, you know, kind of shook my world up a little bit. But I'm looking for the blessing in all this, okay? And I think there is one. And I think, you know, there's a positive aspect to all this. You know, first of all, I'm getting out of the house more. And second of all, it's got me thinking about different things, and I won't go into it here. But so that's the cigar update. And then last week, we never have cockroaches in this building. When I was younger, I had different places I lived in which had cockroaches, and you know, not a fan. I don't think anybody can be a fan of cockroaches. I always like that the cockroaches are, you know, I've heard this forever, decades, that when the nuclear, when we are finally annihilate ourselves with nuclear bombs, the only thing that left are cockroaches. Wow, that's kind of weird. So anyway, we don't have cockroaches here normally, but I was doing my laundry, and I was walking back, and right in the courtyard near my door was a ginormous cockroach. I'm talking about, I want to say one and a half, 2 inches big. I mean, this thing, for that thing to grow as big as it did, it had to really be pretty old, I guess. And it was just standing there with that big antennas, just, you know, and I go, oh my God, is that a cockroach? I go, that is a cockroach. And it was just standing there, and it was just sort of, I couldn't tell if it was just being defiant or just old. Like, I don't care anymore. I'm sick of living inside the walls. I'm coming out. And I'm going to get some fresh air and sunshine. So I didn't have any spray. And this girl that works, she lives in my building, and she works out of her house. You know, I went and knocked on her door, and I said, hey, you know, it's a big cockroach. You got any spray? So she said, yeah. So she came out and brought this spray in. And she was kind of cute. Looked a little scared. So she gave me the spray, and I just whacked that thing. And that thing just, you know, it just... You know, it fell over on its side, on its back, and just, it died. At one point, she said, I think he got him. I said, I want to make sure. And then I just let him lay there. I wasn't going to pick him up. And then later on, I told the manager, the female manager, when she came home, I said, hey, you know, because I actually sent an email to them, letting them know that, you know, there's one cockroach, and there must be others, okay? And, so I saw her, and I said, hey, did you see that thing? And she goes, yeah. She goes, I'm not touching it. So it just kind of lied in state in the courtyard for hours while people paid their last respects. It was like a warning to other cockroaches. Don't even dare show your face. I guess when the husband came home, like maybe he picked it up or something. I wasn't going to do anything with it. Nothing. Nada. Nada dita. So we have it's been really hot out here and in Los Angeles, and it's gotten cooler. It's probably in the, I'm guessing, I haven't checked today, but I'm thinking it might be in the 70s. But we were up in the, you know, the late 90s and the early 100s and for a few days, and it was just, oh, so hot. And so they've got, you know, they've got these electronic signs on the freeway that where they tell you to buckle up or different things like that. And there was one sign that said, serious drought, save water. And I was just like, serious drought? I mean, as opposed to what, like a humorous drought? Is that too shticky? Sound like a Seinfeld bit? Not that Seinfeld's shticky, but, you know, a serious drought? As opposed to a very funny drought? Where we just laugh that we don't have any water? I don't know. Yeah, now that I say it out loud, it seems a little shticky. A little shticky. I don't think it's going to shtick. So I saw something interesting this week. I was in back of a school bus, one of those short ones, and he made a left turn at the intersection, and he didn't use his turn signal. And I thought, holy mackerel, if a school bus driver doesn't use their turn signal, what chance do we have in this world of using our turn signals, you know? And so, should I report? You know what? I don't know. Would you report something like that? Screw it. I'm not a reporter. I mean, once in a while I'll report if something's really out of line. But a school bus not using a turn signal, that's nothing. Nothing! Then I saw this thing on the internet. There was the oldest living man. I don't know, he was like 120 or 110 or something like that, you know. And, you know, when you get to that kind of, I mean, people want to live long lives, and I get it, you know, I want to too. But you don't want to live like, I mean, these people, look, they're like so decrepit looking. Like after a while, just, you know, move on. Go into the next realm, and because if reincarnation is correct, and you come back, you're going to be young again anyway. You know, why hold on to being old? And if it's not correct, then you're just going to be like a spirit a spirit in the night. Or, you know, or if there's nothing, then you're just going to be nothing. So what the hell are you hanging on to? You know? I keep thinking of Rodney Dangerfield before he died. In his one of his book he wrote, he said one thing he was going to miss is Chinese food. I think I've talked about that before. Really, it was very, to me, that was very endearing, a very endearing line. So the oldest living man, and they asked him, you know, like, what was his secret to longevity? And I don't know if there was more than one, but if there was one, or like the top one was that he had no kids. I always thought, like, if you had kids, it gave you something to kind of live for, you know? But according to him, no. Having no kids. And I think he might have been in China. He was somewhere in one of the Asian countries. And he just said no kids. So sorry, people with kids. The oldest living man said, no kids, live long. I went to Albertson's supermarket one day. A couple weeks ago. And the guy that bagged my groceries had a name, they all wear name plates, right? Name tags. And his said Red, R-E-D-D. And he looks like he's probably in his early 20s. So I said to him, Red, I said, wait, what, Red Fox? Are you Red Fox? I said, you know, you kind of look like Red Fox. And then he just looked at me and go, oh, I said, you don't know who Red Fox is. He goes, no, no. And I, you know, and then this other young guy goes, yeah, Red, that would be his father. I go, do you know who Red Fox is? He goes, no, no. And it's just, you know, it's I mean, there's really no reason maybe why they should know who Red Fox is. But it just goes to show you how fleeting fame is. You know, Red Fox was a big deal. When I was a kid, he was a big deal. You know, and I used to run into him all over, you know, Hollywood and, you know, I would run into him like he'd be driving his, I think he had a Rolls Royce or a Jaguar, you know, one of those big old cars. And, you know, he was always nice. I always say hi to him and say hi. He'd be nice. And, but, you know, he's gone and these people don't know who he is. So, but my point is, don't worry about fame. There's only a handful of really famous people that even if the world survives, you're going to have the Beethovens and the Beatles, and that's about it. You know, not even the Stones are probably going to, you know, they'll be a footnote compared to the Beatles. excuse me. Got a little something in my throat there for a minute. And then during the week, I wanted to get their fabulous chicken, but by the time I could get there, I wouldn't be able to get there until 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and I knew they might be gone, so I called ahead and ordered, and I got this lady on the phone, and she was, I said I wanted the chicken, and I said I like a little bit of coleslaw, and they have this great quinoa, endomami, or quinoa, what's it called? Quinoa endomami salad. I forget if there's something else in it, but anyway, it was really good. I got it before. And so I asked her if she had it, and she was like, yeah, yeah. And I said, well, I want the chicken, the whole chicken, the traditional one, and I want a small thing of coleslaw, and if we got a small thing of the endomami salad, quinoa salad. And she goes, oh, okay, all right, I probably should write this down. I go, yeah, that would be actually the thing to do. So I said, go ahead, get your thing. And she's going, oh, okay now. So, okay, so you want the chicken? I go, yeah, and you want the coleslaw, yeah, and what else? And I want that. Do you have the endomami quinoa salad? Oh yeah, yes, we have that. Okay, I'll have that small one of those. Okay, and she goes, and when will you be here? And I go, well, I'll be with like 4:30 in the afternoon. I'll be there about 9:30, 10 o'clock tonight. Okay, what's your name? Al. Okay, and you're coming. Today's the 14th, right? I go, yes. And you're coming on the 14th? I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm going to come in 5 hours from now, and I believe it'll still be the 14th in this time zone. You know, it's getting a little bit like, oh, really? And And then, you know, and then she called me back and, oh, she took my phone number and called me back 5 minutes later because she apologized. We don't have the edamame quinoa salad. I go, that's fine, hon. Don't worry. No worries. Just the two items. And, you know, then I had complete and utter empathy for her because, you know, she's just a lady. She works, people like that, they work hard. They have so much to do and they don't make any money. You know, they should make money if they're, you know, they're skilled. I'm not saying she should particularly make a lot of money because she's, I don't know. But you know what I'm saying. I did that work when I was a kid. I ran a deli for a minute, and I ran an employee's cafeteria kind of deli thing for a minute, and more than a minute. That's sort of like street lingo, folks. And that's not easy work. It's hard work. And I hated it, and I stopped doing it. So you stopped doing it, too. So, you know, props out to the people that can do it. And if it wasn't for them, I'd have no edamame salad or chicken or coleslaw. Then I went to this one supermarket. I was over, I had to go over the hill the other day. I was near West Hollywood. And I go to this place called Air One, which is like, it makes Whole Foods look cheap, you know, and it's really high end. And I go there mostly to kind of look at the girl. The women there are just like amazing, but it is was on my way when I'm over there. Sometimes I'll go there and they have some pretty good stuff. And I walked in and there's a sushi counter. As soon as you walk in, and there was a guy was giving out sushi samples, and I was pretty hungry. And I said, and so he goes, hey, I said, oh look, you got like four sushi samples. And I go, oh, what would be the best one? He goes, oh, this here. And I go, oh, nice. Okay. So he gave me a sample. It was delicious. I go, how many do you get when you get a package? Or he showed me a package, and it wasn't very much. And it was like $14, and I wasn't really feeling that. And then I asked him, hey, could I try another one? And then there was just this pause. You could see he was chafing under that request. And I thought that was very odd. Like, hey, dude, I'm in your store. I'm in the store. I mean, I don't know. First of all, is this your sushi? And number one, number two, you know, if you be generous with me now, I'll come back and I will buy some stuff, you know. But if you're going to be all cheap and stuff, then you know, I'll be remembering that, you know. I mean, there's a lady at the Albertson. She gave out enormous samples, which I thought were, oh, she overdid it. But she's made sales to me before because of that. So, but he just, you know, there was just that momentary pause where he's just like, just, okay, here, but don't ask for any more. Like, all right, dude. See ya. Then I went to this Thai restaurant in Thai Town, and they've got it's called Thai Plaza is the plaza. Many Thai restaurants, and I got to hand it to these Asian cultures, man. They know how to make money. I mean, you go to Thai Town or Korea Town, and they make you pay to park in their lots, and they have valet people, and so. So the valets are Latino guys, and I make friends with them. And I asked them the first time I went there, hey, which was the best restaurant? And they point to one restaurant. And then, you know, it was a couple weeks later, and then I asked again, which one do you like the best? And they point to this other restaurant. So I went to this other restaurant. I want to change anyway. And then when I was leaving, some other guy came up and asked him, well, what's a good restaurant here? And he pointed to this other restaurant, the first restaurant I went to, and I go, I said, you guys just kind of like just whatever, you just kind of, you know, take turns pointing at the best restaurants. They go, well, we got to give everybody a chance. So I thought that was good. I bought them ice cream too. I bought those guys ice cream because there's a Thai place that just is devoted to desserts. And I went in there and I started saying out loud, oh, I shouldn't have come in here. And this one guy, the white guy, started laughing. And they had this very colorful kind of, this thing called sponge cake, but it looked kind of creamy. But it was just too much. I didn't want to buy it because it was just too much. And so I did get some ice cream. They don't have chocolate. For some reason in the Thai culture, they're not big on chocolate, I guess. At least in the ice cream department. The Latino guys each wanted mango, and I got a coconut. And it was a very warm night, and we enjoyed our ice cream together. And then I went home. I took the food I took to go. I went home, and I did not eat that food that night. Thank you. All right, enough already. I'm rambling on and on and on and on and on I go. Okay, thank you so much for bearing with me. bearing with me. What am I apologizing? Thanks for listening. Maybe bearing with me. Some of these stories, who knows? But I don't have an update on my website. I think I'm going to have the Bucks within the next, maybe by the summer. I think I'm going to be able to actually invest in this new website. And I think it's important to have a new website. And then this whole thing with net neutrality now, the FCC was voted to make it like, so it's going to be where the really big companies will control. They'll have faster service. And then people like me, it'll be hard. It's just like more typical stuff, you know, more typical stuff of, you know, when the big guys just try to, you know, crouch out the, you know, everybody else. And it's just like, come on, man, that's not, you know, that's not true capitalism. Capitalism is, it should be a level playing field. And we should all, whoever's got the best deal, you know? And if you can build something up and make it super huge, great. But if it gets to the point where it's so huge that you're like a Godzilla, then I think we got to talk. We have to have a sit down, okay? All right, listen, thanks again for listening. And until next time, this is Al Berman live from a studio apartment.